Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, and welcome to ENN on a Wednesday evening. It's bizarre. These weeks are weird and hard, but somehow also go really quickly, don't they?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like very strange. It's hard to quite explain, but here we are again. It's Wednesday evening. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Please stay safe, everybody. Stay indoors. Be very wash handy.
Classic.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
There was a lot of fetish porn. Perfect.
That's the winner of next year's event.
RJ, do you have recent drops like near each other, or are they all in random places?
They're kind of all over. Some are on Michael's page. Some are on your page, which I don't even know why I put anything on your page. You're not here. But when you get back.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I was just going to say, I would love to recount some of the great drops that we've had during quarantine, because the last couple of months, few things have happened on this show that I think next year will make us look back fondly on this time.
There was a lot of fetish porn. Good job out of you.
Mike McDonald follows me on Twitter. I'd love to sit down and talk to Owen Nolan.
The Daily Don, you moron!
The Daily
what do you think it is?
So that's my list today on Cinco de Mayo. The 5th of February.
The husbands came back from war and impregnated their wives.
Strap it on. Strap it in. Boomer. Okay, Boomer. What? We've got questions about the pizza.
I'm not even on the show. except for that. You guys have done a hell of a job. The Kentucky Derby.
Spoke too soon, Peter.
Oh, thank you, RJ. Tomas Glavine has spoken. He spoke to the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and he was a player rep during the strike in 94-95, and he said, quote, if it were to come down to an economic issue, and that's the reason baseball didn't come back, you're looking at a situation similar to the strike of 94-95 as far as fans are concerned. Even if the players were 100% justified in what they were complaining about, they're still going to look bad.
Yep.
That's from right. Tom Glavine.
He's right. It's as unfair as it seems, he's right. And I've never understood it, why the average Joe takes the side of a billionaire over a millionaire, but he's right. I'm sorry. He's absolutely right. That's why players should just keep their mouth shut, get the best deal they can behind the scenes, because they're not winning over anybody. They're just not. They're not winning over the vast majority of people who sit there in judgment and go, I could play that game for nothing. They're just not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
We've been saying that. I mean, that's kind of sort of been the point of the whole conversation, is the optic is terrible because not only does it seem sort of tone deaf, but on top of that, in the end, the people always seem to gravitate the same direction anyway. Jim Harbaugh, or as Michael sometimes refers to him as, Jim Harbaugh.
Back off, Harbaugh.
says he's okay playing in empty stadiums. He was on Get Up earlier. Let's hear from the head coach at Michigan.
You could definitely test both teams. You could test the officials and everybody. Can you test 100,000 fans coming into a stadium? Probably not. You know, that's probably not without a vaccine. You probably couldn't do that. So, yeah, to answer your question, heck yeah, be comfortable coaching a game without any fans. You know, if the choice were play or in front of no fans or not play, then I would choose play in front of no fans. And I think most of the darn near every guy I've talked to on our team, that's the way they feel about it.
It's amazing that this is even a point of discussion. Of course you'd rather play than not play. No matter if there's 8 people in the stands or 80,000, you want to play. And Peter mentioned this so astutely earlier. especially a college athlete who at most has 4 years, because most of them don't make the pros. So you're going to just let a season go away where you don't play intercollegiate athletics because there's no fans to watch you.
Well, speaking of which, Michael, the presidents at Miami and Notre Dame are, they told CNN, they're optimistic about playing. Probably in empty stadiums like so many other sports, but they are expecting, at least at Miami and Notre Dame, of course, two of the biggest and most lucrative programs in the country with the biggest national attention, expecting to come back. Now, the chief medical officer of the NFL has spoken about what could be happening in the future, and Dr. Alan Sills says that the NFL will be ready if a player tests positive.
We fully well expect that we will have positive cases that arise because we think that this disease will remain endemic in society, and so it shouldn't be a surprise that new positive cases arise. The challenge is to identify them as quickly as possible and to prevent spread to any other participants. So we're working very diligently on that, and we'll have some detailed plans to share about that at a later time.
Dr. Sills also stressed that the NFL will not be taking away tests that would otherwise be available for public use.
We want to make sure that we're in no way affecting the supply of tests that are needed by the healthcare system in any of our markets or around the country at large. So that's a strong commitment from all of us. And so as we work together with the Players Association around this plan, we'll follow the science and come up with what we think offers the best combination of information and lowest risk to players and staff and other in that environment. But we have to do so thoughtfully in conjunction with the public health system and with the communities there in which our clubs are located.
You know, he's so transparent that you could, I mean, it's very clear why his nickname is what it is. In the medical industry, he's nicknamed the window. He's very transparent.
Window Sills.
Wow.
He's so
that
proud
makes
of
you
himself.
A clown shoe.
Right.
It makes you also a window licker.
Now, we were in a little bit of a different world back in March, but clearly those NBA teams that were tested in March definitely came at the expense of the general public. Things were a little bit different in March.
Although, weren't they done in private facilities every time?
Yeah, but even now, I think the private facilities have been forced to make those tests available to the general public, right? And I don't – maybe I could be wrong on this, Michael, but I think you can't just go someplace, pay $2,000, and get tested. I think those tests are now been made available to everyone because there's such a lack of them, right?
I think it's still going to come down there's going to be a lot of public outcry if they can't get tests, but now you see that they're signing deals that even in the tri-state area, you can get them at CVS. It seems like you can get tests now. So, I mean, as long as they're available for the public and the people that need it and the healthcare workers, I guess then people would actually live with the fact that the athletes get it almost every day.
All right, I'm going to tell you a story. You guys probably both know it at this point, but I'm guessing you'll both have a strong opinion. I'll tell you the story, and you tell me, good guy or nozzle. Chad Johnson was eating at a restaurant in Miami that had just reopened, or in Florida, I should say. Don't know where.
This is Ocho Cinco.
That's right, Ocho Cinco. He had a $37 bill and left a $1,000 tip with a note that said, congrats on reopening. Sorry about the pandemic. Hope this helps. I love you, in all caps. He then tweeted a photo of the receipt from Havana's Cuban cuisine, in Cooper City it is, with the caption, Proverbs 11:25. That proverb is, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Good guy or nozzle for posting it on Twitter?
Both. Could you be both? You know, the old saying, if you do something nice for somebody and more than you and that person know about it, you did it for the wrong reasons. Now, maybe he would say that he's saying you should all be doing this.
Yeah.
But it's kind of self-congratulatory.
But part of the allure, if you will, of Twitter is the 100 and what is it, 40 characters now?
Mm-hmm.
Then you say that.
280.
Is it up to 280?
Yeah,
now?
It's 280.
Right. So if your motive was, hey, there's a lot of other people that are affluent like I am, step up, guys. You know what? You put that in a tweet. But
There's
maybe that, so yeah. Otherwise,
that left it as yeah, very generous, great, but you look like you're looking for a little bit of a pat on the back for it.
Also, if you want to be actually more literal, guys, the proverb itself is asking for a pat on the back. The proverb is saying,
"You examine proverbs." This is great.
It's saying, "Be generous." Why? Because you will have generosity shown unto you. It's not saying, "Help." You know, the meek shall inherit the earth. Help those who are in need. It's saying, if you are generous, generosity will come back to you. So, I don't know.
It's good with a heavy dose of nozzle.
Ah, that's like that was the weather report I saw for this weekend. The T-Wolves are spearheading a league-wide study on coronavirus. The team doctor, Robbie Sicca, and the Mayo Clinic are going to be leading a league-wide study that aims to establish what percentage of NBA players, coaches, executives, and staff have developed antibodies against the coronavirus. The initiative, which is supported by the league office and the Players Association, is expected to have the participation of all 30 teams.
His nickname is Don't Get.
I was going to say, that's a great name for a doctor. Sicca.
Don't get Sicca. Yeah.
Now, question: Do you think that they're doing that because of their proximity to the Mayo Clinic, or because of Karl Anthony Towns, or both?
Could be both. So sad what happened to him. So sad.
Really feeling for him.
And it does show you could have all the money in the world. I'm sure Carl made sure she had his mom. For those that know, his mom passed away from coronavirus. He probably had the best care possible that she could have. But this virus doesn't have any economic prejudice, it seems.
Well, yes and no.
Well, yeah, it seems like lower income people are more susceptible to getting really ill from it, but it does show you if you have a lot of money, doesn't mean that you're going to be safe from it.
Now, Kat is one of those players who would potentially have to come back. His team is currently 19-45, second worst team in the league.
Who's worse? Do you know?
That would be the Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
I think that ship sailed, though, now, guys. I don't think there'll be any plan in either the NBA or NHL that are going to include teams miserably out of it. They may expand the playoffs or have, like, a play-in. I don't think there's any scenario where, you know, Ottawa, Detroit, or in the NHL, or Atlanta, or the Knicks, or the Golden State Warriors, or the Minnesota T-Wolves are going to be involved. Because those guys are just not going to want to play.
Can you imagine for Karl Anthony Towns? Now, listen, maybe he'd be desperate to come back and play, though. You have no idea.
Well,
maybe the camaraderie of coming back to the league would mean everything to him.
But I just think, from what I hear, at least on the NHL side, is players on teams that are out of it are like, we'll see you next year. And I think that's the same way in the NBA, too. Like, do you think any of the Knicks want to come back to New York, of all places, what it's going through, and play 16 meaningless games just to get out of it, or just say, you know, let's revamp next year? So that's why I think any plan will include the fringe teams, but the teams that are out of it like that, I don't think there's any plan that includes them.
By the way, to get off the path of sports just a bit, I could not any more strongly recommend today's episode of The Daily, not the ESPN Daily, the New York Times Daily, the news podcast. The episode is about why is the coronavirus affecting Black Americans at such a high rate. And they tell it through the story of a man who got it and died in New Orleans. They tell it through him, and his wife, his widow, is the one telling the story, basically. Through her, and then also a follow-up on the statistics, and how basically it's really amazing. Two things to me blow my mind about coronavirus when it comes to Black Americans. Number one, the very initial conversation that we were hearing a lot from listeners in a sort of joking way was Black people don't get coronavirus. That was actually a sort of joking internet rumor at first, which now I find to be just so incredibly ironic, if God forbid that thought had been in anyone's mind. And then on top of that, there was the idea that people thought it was the great equalizer, and this affects everyone equally. And in fact, what you learn if you listen to this podcast, and you've seen it, of course, lots of other places, they just recount it really carefully. It's actually just a mirror into how horrifying discrimination is in our country in 2020. Like anyone who lives in a world in which they believe Barack Obama was president, it's 2020. The coronavirus just holds up a mirror to inequities. And I mean, places like New Orleans, where the population's 30% black and the coronavirus deaths are 70% black, it's astounding. And the guy they do a feature on was a part of this black organization based in New Orleans that came together post-slavery to pool their money so poor black people after slavery could afford funerals. So they came together, and that's how this group formed. And every year they have these big celebrations at Mardi Gras. So you can already guess what happens. They have their Mardi Gras celebration, and this group gets ripped through. Nine members of this small organization have all died. And ironically, this group that came together to be able to create funerals that would be meaningful, they're all having their funerals in front of 10 people on Zoom.
Hmm.
It's a gut-wrenching. I just really couldn't recommend it from an educational standpoint for everyone. I apologize for going sort of sad here, but it really affected me listening to it today. Not affecting me as much, but also the Big Three has canceled their 2020 season. However, their deal with CBS Sports continues, and Ice Cube's Startup Basketball League does plan to return in 2021. So at least they're not going to go out like the XFL.
And now there are rumors that the XFL, I mean, I saw stories today that Vince McMahon's trying to buy them back. And that the reason he disbanded the league was because he got out of all the contracts, the big money contracts, and they weren't going to be able to play after COVID-19 took over. And now he's trying to buy back the league at a lower price because there were some really good things about the league that were working very, very well, and their intellectual property is worth a lot as well.
Well, I'd be amazed if he tries again. Although maybe I wouldn't.
Well, this looked like it was going to work to some extent. They were content with being a spring league. And,
right.
And it seemed like the NFL standard was seemed on different. Board. Yeah.
You mentioned Vince McMahon. So, sad news. The body of former WWE superstar Shad Gaspard was found on Venice Beach, where he was caught in a rip current on Sunday. He was 39 years old. He went missing on Sunday after he went swimming with his 10-year-old son. Officers were flagged down at 1:25 a.m. this morning by a person reporting that the body had washed ashore. So rest in peace to Shad Gaspard, who by all accounts of everyone I know who's friends with him, just an amazing human being. Awful announcing reporting that on May 25th, there's going to be an SNL primetime spotlight on NBCSN for all the classic athlete appearances.
Eh.
What's,
I saw the list. I think they could have done better.
What was the
list? You saw the list?
Peyton, right? They have Peyton.
Eli
was funny.
Charles was great.
Derek Jeter was really funny, too.
Was Jeter on there, Peter?
Derek Jeter's Taco Bar?
He's in the article.
I saw the list. I want to be able to punch it up because I don't want to unfairly. I just thought there were a couple of omissions.
Oh, here it is. Monday. Oh, no. So it starts Monday, May 25th. They're airing the Michael Jordan episode. Then at 9 o'clock.
I don't remember him hosting.
Oh, you don't remember the Stuart Smalley?
The Stuart Smalley.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Jordan hosted. That's at 8 p.m. next Monday. So on Memorial Day. That's at 8. At 9, the LeBron James episode from 2007. That I don't remember. However, I do remember Charles Barkley from 2010. Although maybe I remember the older Barkley. That'll air at 10 o'clock. Tuesday, May 26th, they go Tom Brady, 7 o'clock. Peyton Manning, 8 o'clock. Eli Manning, 9 o'clock. J.J. Watt, 10 o'clock. And then Wednesday, May 27th, it's all The Rock. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, all Dwayne Johnson. Which, by the way, is kind of unfair. The Rock
because he was there as a star, not as an athlete.
Right. The Rock getting thrown in as an athlete, he's an actual actor, like with real comedy chops.
Right.
I mean, although Peyton does have comedy chops too, I must admit. Dan Orlovsky. has a
Before we move on.
Oh, go ahead, Dons. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they do have the Derek Jeter. No Gretzky, no Steinbrenner. So I don't know why you wouldn't do all of them. Why wouldn't you have the Steinbrenner?
Steinbrenner did a full episode?
Oh, yeah, he was funny, too.
Unless they just don't have access, because it seems like they don't have... The oldest one they have here is the Jordan in 91. Otherwise, everything is 2000 and older. So maybe
why wouldn't they have access? It's NBC.
They have access. It's owned by Lorne Michaels.
But there's a lot of the older ones that you could do, unless they just don't think they were funny. But if you're going to do them all, why would you have... I think there's four Dwayne Johnsons. Why would you have four Rocks and leave people out? Why not air them all?
It's not right.
And as you said, the Rock is that's sports adjacent.
Sports adjacent. Correct. Wrestling is the definition of sports adjacent. Dan Orlovsky was on the My Sports Update podcast, one of my favorites, and he was asked, Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones, who are you taking?
Sam Darnold. That's an easy answer for me. I think Sam Darnold's one of the most talented guys at that position that has come out of the draft in years. I think anyone that tries to sit here and tell you that they can make an honest evaluation of Sam Darnold is lying. There's absolutely no way. He's had the bottom five offensive line when it comes to pass blocking and run blocking his first 2 years. He's had change over at coach and offensive coordinator, and they probably have the least talented roster skill position wise in the NFL over the last 2 years. You mean to tell me that Lamar Jackson, who's been absolutely remarkable, if he got drafted by the Jets, he wins MVP? No. You mean to tell me that if Sam Darnold goes to a team that has a top five run game, similar to the Ravens, and a top five defense, similar to the Ravens, we don't have a very different outlook on Sam Darnold? And so I still believe that Sam Darnold has this uniqueness to his game, this magical sloppiness to his game that is very Big Ben, Tony Romo-esque, that he can do things that you just cannot nor would not coach into a player.
Interesting take.
Hey.
And I think the Post had a story about who's the best quarterback in the AFC East. Forget about they said it was Josh Allen. They spoke to, I think Orlovsky was one of them, who said Darnold. I think Boomer Esiason was another. And I think the ones that said Allen was just because of the talent they had around him. Everybody's in agreement right. That Darnold's very talented, but he just doesn't have the chops around him.
But that's not fair then, you know. So obviously the better quarterback is going to be the one that's got weapons, but, you know, eventually the Jets will get him weapons, you would think. The scary thing is it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. So that'll be the first 3 years of his career in which he's had the two coaches, two offensive coordinators, and now not really having serious weapons. You hope by year four that it'll start to happen for him, Michael. But, you know, if Gase has another losing season, will there be itchy to replace him again?
All right, now, RJ had this on his RJ's Thoughts page today.
I saw this.
Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com made a list of the best and worst off-seasons around the NFL, and the Jets come in at number 13, while the Giants are right behind them at number 14. So they think that they did do well.
He thinks they did do well.
No, it's not average. That means that there's 32 teams in the league. Right. They're 13th and 14th.
Right, that's, you know, well, that's in the upper first half, but it's still kind of close to the middle, right? And listen, I think they did well. I think the Giants surprised people with their pick, but all indications are it's still a very good lineman, and we'll see how it all shakes out. And their free agency wasn't bad. I think the Giants, so they went and filled some needs there. We'll see.
Hey guys, Woj has good news. He thinks things are looking positive for the NBA.
The question is less becoming if the league will return, but when it will return. And ultimately, everyone is waiting on Adam Silver, the league's commissioner, you know, to essentially press the green light and say go. And he has wanted to wait until the very last possible moment to make the final decision on moving forward, to then start assembling and putting things in place in terms of getting players back in market, starting individual workouts and facilities, starting a training camp, and then moving to games. And I think most in the league expect that they'll know early in June about how they're going to proceed.
Right, so they'll know how they'll proceed, but the question still will remain when they can start.
It looks like the first league that's going to get up and rolling would be baseball then. I mean, not counting, you know, racing and soccer and, well, soccer's still not going in this country.
Well, golf, racing, I mean, racing, golf, they, yeah. They're already
But a major sports league, one of the top four leagues, it's going to be baseball. It's going to lead the way.
Well, unless they screw it up by leading the way and then not playing and then getting beaten because they're arguing over money. And you've said it from the very beginning. In any negotiation, they always take care of the easy stuff first. So it sounds to me like they're doing the easy stuff, which seems like the hardest stuff to do, they're doing first because it's going to end up being easier than negotiating the money. So they might have everything in place ready to go, and we're sitting for weeks because they just can't decide on the money, and that would just look awful.
Hey, guys.
Can you do that Marty's voice?
Hey, guys.
Okay.
Do you know what happened 34 years ago today?
All right, so what's that?
At Madison Square Garden.
Let's see, 34.
Ago. It's going to be tough. You're not going to get this, but.
So this is 1986. This is Garden. May 20th, 1986 at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm. It's not a famous event. I mean, it is. There's a famous story that surrounds the event.
Please tell us.
Judge Georgie
fight?
Colon observed the fight 9-1 for the winner for his 21st straight win and his many fights, Mike Tyson.
So I got it right. Just under the wire, I got Mike Tyson.
I didn't hear you say that.
I didn't either.
RJ?
He said it.
He did say it.
Really?
Yep.
Go who back if you can.
When did you fighting? Become such a Don defender? It's amazing, RJ.
He's the defender of like what happened and what didn't happen.
Yeah, defender of truth.
He's repurposing it now, and you will hear me say Mike Tyson just under the wire.
And
what a hero!
Real quick, do you know who he was fighting, Mike? Don.
No idea. Trevor Burbick.
Mitch Blood Green.
Oh, should have known that.
Yep.
Didn't they later have a fight jumping over cars in Harlem?
That's right. They fought it outside Dapper Dan in
the haberdashery.
Right. That's exactly where they fought. Right outside of Dapper Dan's, who recently made my beautiful tuxedo that I wore for WrestleMania. It's gorgeous. But Tyson fought twice at the Garden. Back to back right then. Mitch Green and then Reggie Gross after. Not a memorable fight. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
Let's listen.
Please tell us.
Judge Georgie Colon observed the fight.
I mean,
It was as he's playing the answer, so you heard who the judge was.
Oh, that's come on. Play it again.
Am I right? Please tell us.
Judge Georgie Colon observed the fight.
You heard Judge Georgie Colon.
No, I committed. I committed.
Tyson.
It's not when you say it, it's when you commit to say it. It's like in the NHL, it's not when you blow the whistle, it's when you commit to blow the whistle. So I committed to Tyson.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.